This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Basketball.com. That's Willie Kemp's organization, Think It's a Game, TIGBasketball.com. Here are some of the contestants. Because Kemp had told us former Tigers. Didn't he say plural? I'm seeing one for sure.
Okay, I think he did say plural, though.
I thought so, too. Chris Crawford is among the participants.
Okay.
So is former Melrose High standout, then Louisville Cardinal, Chris Jones.
Yep.
We also have Tariqa White, former Ole Miss standout, Craigmont High standout, Micey Strong, Myron Strong, I think as you said, heating up UTEP.
Yep.
A.J. Jones, who was a Raleigh Egypt standout. And then the man I mentioned, y'all might not remember, but Donald Boone, who I think goes by D-Ray Boone, he is also in this thing. We mentioned him even when you and I were thinking of after Lance and Beasley played. You and I were talking about a Memphis one-on-one, who would be, and I mentioned D-Ray Boone as a guy who might be getting close to 40, but is a guy who's super in shape and could be good in these. Because remember, you're going to have to play through contact. You saw how physical that Beasley, Lance Stevenson matchup was. And so
you
can't just be about skill. You got to be able to play through
fouls.
You got to be able to talk the talk.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be some of that out there. I'll tell you what. Chris Jones, Chris Crawford, Tariqa White, of the names I see. Because you don't know Donald Boone's game.
No, I don't.
So among those three, among those guys, who would you have at the
top? I do think like, you know, the winner feels very likely to come out of that group.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's my early feel.
I don't know.
I don't have the whole bracket. I just have some of the names dropped here.
I think I would make Chris Crawford the favorite in a tournament, in a big field, right? So it's not going to be minus. But I think I'd make him like plus 120 or something like that. Because he's a little younger than Tariqa White. And if I remember correctly, he was always a pretty good rebounder at Memphis.
Yes,
and so, you know, he's not going to be afraid to, you know, put his nose in there. And he can shoot the ball, obviously, as we know. And he's big. He's a bigger guy. He's like 6'5", right? 6'5", guard, you know, can handle it. So I think I'd make Chris the favorite at plus 120. And I would have Tariqa at like plus, you know, I'm not far behind, right? Maybe like plus 155 or something like that. And then Chris Jones would be like probably 2-1.
He takes your odds. He spits on them because he says he would be the favorite.
But he's just so small. That's gotta hurt him.
How big he plays.
And he's not really a great shooter. So you know, I trust he'll make life very hard for his opponent. But
I feel like Tariqa White's gonna have a significant size advantage at a legit 6'5". I think Crawford might be 6'4"-ish.
So you'd make Tariqa the favorite.
I feel like Tariqa might be my Chris knows I love him.
Yeah.
Catch and shoot king, but he's so much more than that now.
He is more than that.
But Tariqa
did play in the NBA.
Creating his own shot against Tariqa, who's NBA athletic, even though he's getting, what did you say, he's 35?
35, yeah.
Now he's getting a little up there.
Now Chris is probably not far from that, right? Chris probably
can't
30.
Be too much. Yeah. But still, that can make a difference
in terms of
you know, stamina, endurance, all that going to matter when it's just one-on-one. It's just you trying to get shots.
Right. Actually, Chris Crawford was what, class of 2010?
Yes.
So he's going to be like 33.
I guess they are that old now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's closer.
You trying to make him 30.
Yeah, you the one said 30.
I know, I did. I'm trying to make him 30.
Yeah. No, those guys are up there now.
Yeah, so there's really not that much of an age difference between those two. So yeah, I think I might have had it flipped. Tarico's probably should be the favorite because he played in the NBA for a while.
I'm more about Chris creating his own shot against somebody the size of Tarico. Again, if Diedrich gets in this thing, shut it down, but I don't have Diedrich Lawson's name. He doesn't seem to be in it.
Yeah.
He would be the favorite. Size, inside, outside, and back you down all day long.
Because, I mean, yeah, he's 6'9". It sounds like you haven't given me a big yet.
No bigs that I recognized.
Yeah.
Those were all I don't have the entire roster. These are just some of the names that have leaked out from Platform Basketball from Julio.
All right. I like it. It's a nice group.
It is.
You know.
Five on the line.
$5,000. Maybe a Cracker Barrel gift card. Maybe not. We'll have to work on that. They might be giving them away. You might be able to buy, you know, for 50 cents on the dollar now, given the week they've had in the stock market.
What an awful decision.
It really was. You got to adjust. You know, didn't Coke have something like that? Like they had like a new Coke, and the reaction was so bad they had to like scrap it.
Yeah.
It's okay to like if you roll out a bad thing, it's okay to undo it. You don't have to stick to it just because you know.
This just seems like an extreme reaction. However,
it probably is. It's just the logo, man. To lose so much market cap because of a new logo is crazy.
Somebody's fired.
No doubt. All right, we'll come back. Bennett Doyle will join us. We'll talk to him about his week. I know he's got some thoughts on Memphis football. Do all that in just a little bit. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Football Talk on 92.9 FM ESPN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today.
I'm trying to let the beat drop, but damn,
love
man.
It. No, yeah, I mean, no, you got to let this one build, buddy.
I mean, they really were just, they just thought they had all the time in the world with this one, didn't they?
They knew what they were
doing.
Well,
now look at them. Mm-hmm. Dead.
Well, the singer's dead. Everybody else is alive.
Yeah, but it takes forever for that beat to drop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it does. It's
worth
it.
Sing it, Ozzy. Rest in peace. We love you.
Join now. By the one and only Prince of Darkness over at Grind City Media.
I like that.
You like being the Prince of Darkness?
Yeah, you can go ahead and start calling me that. Prince of Darkness at GCN.
The title is vacant now that Ozzy is dead. Looking up at us. You know what I mean? He's looking right up at us.
Yep.
Bennett Doyle joins us every single Thursday here on the show. Catch him on Grind City Media with Gary Parrish every single day. Grizz Radio Network during the season. We're excited to have him. We're excited to talk to him. He's here now. So you, my friend, got a very unique opportunity yesterday.
Yes, we went to the Memphis football. This is my first time going over there to the Memphis football indoor practice facility. And, buddy, I got to say, that part of campus, I graduated in 2011. All right. Mm-hmm. That part of campus over there is like night and day compared to when I was there. Was nothing over there back then. Now you got that huge facility. You've obviously got the Lori Walton practice facility. You got that nice baseball stadium. You got the softball complex. Like it is, they're building a bunch of new a bunch of new apartments over there. It is it's popping off.
Yeah. So I graduated in 2013. So I'm right behind you. I mean, I remember they were it had come a long way. You know, it's right there past the Lori Walton, right? They're on Goodlet.
Yes.
So South Campus. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where everything is,
yeah,
right?
Like
you
go parking,
and you take
Gatewell,
a right past. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
But I have not had the fortune of seeing the whole new. But it definitely looked like it was a big time place. Now
it's really really nice. Like it just when you're in that thing, it feels like big time college football. So kudos to them.
Is it big time college football?
We about to find out. I think so.
It feels like it, but is it?
I mean, I think if you got the FedEx logo on it, then yeah, I think that makes it big time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been paid to say that?
No, I have not. I actually don't work for the University of Memphis. I work for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
But yeah.
I
just love my alma mater. That's all.
Okay, I respect that. I respect that. You know, this is the accountability show.
Yeah, I got it. Feet to the fire. No worries. Good.
I think we've kind of carved a niche for that. You know,
yeah,
like you
I
know,
got you.
It's like even though we're University of Memphis graduates and we all want good things for the University of Memphis, you know,
they look at us like we're the black sheep. So you're on the black sheep show right now.
Oh, they look at y'all that way specifically?
Yeah.
I think they appreciate your contributions over the years.
Maybe it's just me.
It might just be you.
I'm dragging Jason into it. But okay, so the facility was amazing. It was a beautiful facility. And you got a chance to catch up with the athletic director, Ed Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And have you talked to him before? Have you been around him before that?
No, never. And I just, man, I came away from that. It was awesome talking to him. And I just came away from that whole discussion yesterday thinking that, like, the leadership behind that athletic department is in the right hands. I truly believe that. Like, he seems like a guy with a clear vision and knows exactly what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
I respect it. I'm excited about, you know, hopefully what's to come. I think he's excited about what's to come. You know, this big FedEx deal that they announced yesterday, it's obviously like a big deal for a school like the University of Memphis. That only happens at big time schools, dude. And I know that FedEx is a Memphis thing, but
mm-hmm.
That was exciting. And I'm just excited about the future. I am. I think that obviously he was disappointed. He said he was disappointed about the Big 12 thing, but I think that, you know, give it a couple years and let's see where this thing goes.
You're a long time and basically a Tigers basketball historian. You grown up with the program. What did you think? Because I think it happened on you all's show. Ed Scott's comment about, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, it was something John brought up yesterday about, you know, basketball pays the bills, but football's the future.
Yeah, what
What do you think of that comment?
Oh, I mean, he's like, as far as just the grand scheme of college athletics, football is the driving force. There's no question about that. Like, if we're going to be this massive brand and this massive athletics program, football's going to have to thrive. Everyone knows that. It's just true. I think both can thrive at the same time. I don't think that when he said that, he was discounting basketball at all. I think he was saying basketball is in a great spot and we're doing great. We need football to be at that, you know, next level as far as attendance goes and whatnot. So,
John didn't take it that way.
What did you think?
You're taking out. He makes it a very interesting discussion in the sense that if you characterize it as you're taking away from Penny, who's been successful to give to football, in the sense if you're any kind of shift where football becomes the priority at a time where Ryan's underachieved just in terms of not winning a conference title, that's hard to sort of...
What are you taking away?
Well, if you give more money to football, what are you doing? You're by definition not giving as much to basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now I know football costs more, right? I mean, it just does.
Yeah.
You have more people, you have, you know, it's a more expensive sport, but... Again, from where I sit, you know, basketball costs have gone up too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kentucky's got a $20 million roster now.
Yep.
I mean, North Carolina got a $17 million roster.
And we're on still four between and a half, four five. And five, right?
I mean,
okay, but we're still spending more than anybody in our league by a mile. Like,
right, but so is Memphis football already, but they keep getting more.
And I think he made the comment yesterday, like, well, I know specifically in football that they're kind of who did he compare it to? Maybe Kansas?
Yeah,
but
Ed is very good at communicating. You know, he's very good. But he actually did say this. He said Kansas is also bringing in more outside, right?
Mm.
So from a revenue share standpoint, it may be on a similar, but Kansas has so much NIL money outside of rev share. That's where the gap gets created. Same for Texas Tech, right? Same for Texas Tech. They're going to give most of their money in rev share to football. All these schools are going to give more to football, but they're going to bring in so much outside money to help sort of stem the tide and make it to where you can go out and get a... Dude, JT Toppin at Texas Tech is making damn near more than the entire Memphis basketball roster.
Right, that's true.
You know, I mean, so my only thing is like, all right, fine. You want to prioritize football. You want to give football more money. You want to make it a little bit. I don't think they want to make it harder, but it's just like that's the way it is at Memphis. You don't have $20 million in revenue share, and you don't have tens of millions of dollars in NIL. So when you give to one, you just indirectly you take from the other.
Yep.
Is your money going into football? Is it being managed well? Is it being maximized? Because what I would also then say is that this program fired Tubby Smith for being mediocre, for not winning the AC, for not finishing in the, going to the tournament, will you then have that same urgency with the football coach if he underperforms? Because if you give him the money and he doesn't, is he's not a good steward of it, or he doesn't perform at a maximum level with it, you need to then also be willing to fire him. And I don't know that Memphis is, and that's what worries me about the whole thing.
I mean, I do think it's a huge season, right? Like, I you know, and Brendan Lewis was there yesterday too. I don't think there's going to be any excuses about a new look roster with new faces at every position because there's so much money put into
it, right?
I think he's going to be expected to make a championship game appearance.
Well, let's see. I worry a little bit about it. I worry that it will actually become a – like.
I think he knows that.
He's not going to say it today because he hasn't lost a game yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think that if they lose three games in by November that he's not going to come out and say, well – you know, it's going to be like that Tubby thing. Well, we were picked fifth. We finished fifth. We had a new look roster. What did you expect? I just maybe he won't say that. It won't fly even if he does say it because of the money situation.
But I think he knows because again, I don't think that these two quarterbacks behind Brennan are two of the highest recruits they ever got at that position, right? And I think that if you, I'm not sure that you would put a senior quarterback in there that's a new face that came in late.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't think there was some kind of pressure this upcoming season.
Well, look, I don't remember exactly. Did Tubby win 20 games here? He at least
one of them was 19, but I think the other one was 20.
So he averaged 20 wins a year.
There you go.
19 the first year, 21 the second year.
Yeah.
Winning 20 games in college basketball back then, to me, is the equivalent of winning 8 in college football in this league today. Like, we just went through it. Like, they're going to be favored in 11 out of 12 as of today just because the league is so putrid.
Mm.
So if he goes 8-4, if he goes 8-4 in two straight years, are you willing to do something drastic? Like Memphis football, can you believe they would ever? But it's like you did that to Tubby Smith, and he was a Hall of Famer and won a championship. So if you say that football is the future, well, are you going to act like it? Or are you just going to say that because it sounds good? Because if you think it's the future, you need to be willing to do that. You need to be willing to say that if in 2 years there still is not a conference championship appearance, it's time to go. Mm. I don't know. I mean, these are the conversations that are had on this show.
I think
show,
it's a valid point.
You know, I'm not saying Silver's on the hot seat, but it's a short walk from the penthouse to the outhouse. And I just feel like if you're going to do this, reprioritization of what matters at Memphis athletics, you got to be willing to walk that walk too as an administration, And again, I know I'm kind of putting you in a tough spot, but I just think the urgency needs to rise with it and I think maybe it will. We haven't seen that yet, but I just think
things kind of break your way this season as far like
totally
like you get the tougher teams at home this year, so your schedule does kind of break your way a little bit. I was talking to someone yesterday.
Every hard game's at home.
That's true.
Even Arkansas.
I was talking to someone yesterday. It's going to be so important. Like, obviously, you got to win the Chattanooga game. That goes without saying. The two on the road, like, those aren't just gimmies, right? Like, it's against a far inferior opponent, but it is two road games right after the first game of the season. You can't slip up. You cannot slip up there. You got to get all the way through to that Arkansas game.
It better be a game.
You have to. Yes. I am with you there.
Cuz we're talking about
like you can't lose at
we're
Troy.
We're talking money now.
Yeah, you can't lose at Troy.
You know? I mean, you're the highest paid, highest funded team in the group of 6. You know? This is just money conversation now. We can have it openly. Georgia State and Troy, what kind of budget do we think they have?
Right.
Now, upsets happen. Memphis has not had the resources that SEC teams have had, and they have. But that really speaks more to Memphis coaching and ability to develop more than anything else.
Mm.
When you don't have to develop anymore, when you have money, you just go get the good players.
Yep.
Which I think for the most part Memphis has done. So it better be a gimme. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have this conversation a little earlier than we thought.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, I think too, like you talk about revenue. Obviously, ticket sales. That's a big part of that. We know, like with basketball, that they're limiting the seating this year, that they're going to close off part of the upper bowl, right? But we still, I mean, I do think, like, I hate coming on and, like, telling people how to spend their money. I do think it's an important year as far as just fan support. Like, both of these teams are supposed to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's really not going to be an excuse for people not to show up to football games and basketball games this year. both of these teams are expected to be good. I mean, again, like, don't want to tell people how to spend your money, but like,
yeah,
I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is.
Oh,
I'm
going
to be at the Chattanooga game. I'm taking my family. Like, I think
you're going to game one.
It's important. I know it's not a good opponent, but you know, again,
I went to the North Alabama game last year.
The expectations are high. Like let's get behind this.
No, I'm with it. I'll be there for several games, I assume. I mean, I always know. You know, people accuse me of being this huge football hater. I spend money to go to the game.
We might need to all load up on that opener, because I think our man Jeff Wood says he's going to be out there first one because he gets to have a beer for the first time in 40 years, so he's planning on being at the first one.
At a game.
You're saying you're going to Chattanooga.
Yeah, man.
I think his first – You know, he's always – that's what he told the team.
Everybody's going to go to the Arkansas game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's show up for the Chattanooga game.
Got to. get off the right start, then they go on the two on the road like you talked about. Better not lose those two runs. Troy and – what's the other one?
Georgia State.
There you go. You mentioned them.
Yeah.
And is that Clay upset – was it who was it last year? Georgia
Vandy.
State, Vandy.
They
last
did.
Year.
Yep, sure did.
So we'll have our antenna up. That's not happening. John's already assured me we're starting off. What was it, John? 8-0, 7-0.
I mean, you're gonna
close the win over Arkansas
again. You're gonna be, and that's the only game you won't be favored in is Arkansas.
Did Brendan Lewis say all the right things in terms of, you know, what you would want from leader, new guy? You're trying to, but you also want him to take command.
Man, he's got an interesting story too. Like he, I want to say this is like his fifth different offense he's playing under, something like that.
Right, with all the
which to me, I take that as a positive, because he's a guy who could, I mean, comes in a little bit late. Like, he's a guy that can clearly learn on the fly, because he's been productive as a starting quarterback in college football. So I took that as a pretty big positive that you know, he's probably able to pick up on this stuff pretty quickly, which is why he's in the position that he's in. And I'm, you know, for me, like we were talking out loud and thinking about it, when was the last, I mean, I guess it was Paxton was the last time Memphis had a running quarterback, right?
That's what we said.
Yeah.
And not even, you know, this is a little bit different of a runner, where it's like RPO could be run first, whereas Paxton kind of had, but no, that's the one came to that had the other side, had the legs.
And with the uncertainty at receiver, like, I mean, I would assume that they're going to try to run the ball, like, quite a bit.
100%.
I think he's Ryan was talking up his secondary quite a bit yesterday. I think he's excited about that. So I think that, you know, I think the defense is going to probably be decent in this league. I would assume they're going to be good. Again, you're recruiting better than everybody else.
Yep.
And we'll see, like, if one of these receivers emerge. He mentioned Cortez, who they just got.
Braham.
Yeah, from Nevada. That they want to be careful with him because he's got a lot of mileage.
Yeah, he's 30.
Yeah, so they don't want to just
his seventh year.
They just want to just like run him into the ground. So somebody's going to have to emerge besides him as a weapon.
I mean, they actually do
Brandon.
Have a lot of those, right? Like, I feel like
he
Sutton
likes his
Smith
tight
and DeRozier,
ends.
Like,
yeah, he likes his running backs. He likes his tight ends. So yeah, I think it's probably going to look a little different this year. Maybe. Yeah.
You think it'll look different? I mean, the names will be different.
The offense, will look considerably different, because
it's going to be
run first.
Was it last season or two seasons ago that it was like run the ball?
Yeah. It was like Kenneth Gainwell and who was the I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, it wasn't a good year either.
Right,
but it wasn't a good year running
the football.
I will say you have to give him credit. The last two, Blake Watson and then Mario Anderson, have both been solid in terms of the run game the last 2 years, but 3 years ago we were just like, where's the run game? But the last 2 years it's been pretty solid. Dude,
yeah.
I think the run game is going to lead, though. I think you're right
too,
that it's going
to
be a completely different looking offense, and a lot of RPO with DeRozier, Sutton, Smith, and this dude running for 775 yards last year. Like, you're gonna be running with those three guys, you know, with the quarterback and your two running backs, and then trying to keep defenses honest with a little bit of, you know, Cortez and like you said, finding some other receivers to
I'm trying to remember that there was a running back that they had who, man, his name is going to bother me. I guess it was Blake Watson. Was it Blake Watson that they leaned
probably
on? But I feel like there was another guy that had like
Blake was 2 years ago, and then Mario was last year.
It's going to bother
me. I want to get back to, like, you know, I want one of these guys, us, like, looking up at the end of the year and being like, where's he going to go in the NFL draft? You know, it's been a minute, right?
Big Pat, maybe. Well, Pat didn't get drafted, did he? But I think he's on a roster. But then
he's out
run
for the year.
Rodriguez
he's
Clark.
Out for the year?
Yeah, he was with the 49ers, I want to say, and he got injured.
Grief.
Yeah, he's out for the
dude
year. Patrick
catch
Taylor.
A break.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's had a long NFL career at this
he's
point.
He's been in there for a minute,
yeah.
I thought. You know, not many carries, but on rosters.
Mm-hmm.
It was Rodriguez Clark. That's the guy that
that's
I
it.
4 years ago. He didn't end up doing anything.
Man, you random as heck.
I got that Rain Man in me, you know what I mean?
Like, it's random.
Like yesterday, we were going through the entire NFL, and I could name you every backup quarterback.
Who's the Titans' backup quarterback?
It's Brandon Allen.
Probably.
And certain, yeah. you brought in,
It might be Trevor Siemian. It might be Trevor Siemian again for like the 50th year in a row. Yeah,
y'all are absolutely terrible. Although Cam Ward's going to play again this weekend. I think tomorrow, right?
I'd like to see the next step.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Maybe just let's get a touchdown pass.
You had one against the Bucs.
The first week, I thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After a second three drive.
I mean, on the first drive. Like,
I mean, come on. He wants a first drive,
first team.
John.
You're getting greedy. I want a first team
You
drive.
Do realize you're the Titans.
I don't want to score against backups. I'm ready to score against starters.
Well, catch the ball, Van, or Jefferson, whatever your name is, and catch the dang ball.
God.
I mean, honestly, Devin did burn you like Van, and he caught it, unlike Van.
Okay, first off, he like left off the first 15 seconds of that video. Like, it's just me at the end, like where my hamstring's giving out.
Yeah, no, you didn't look like you were holding your hamstring.
I kept up with him for a second.
For 15 seconds, you kept up with him?
I kept up with him for a good...
That's a long route.
I kept up with him for a good 10 yards.
Okay, and then he left you in the dust?
Yeah, he got me. Yes, he got me.
And did he celebrate?
Now, granted, I'm doing a show while he's like getting a practice on the indoor
show.
Practice. I got no practice, no reps. I just had to go right in there cold.
Dude.
No stretches, nothing.
It actually hurt my feelings to see that because, you know, I remember when you and I would play flag football together. And you know I had
a little energy back then.
Yeah, like were like he was the running back.
I was the running back.
Of course he was.
Well, he was more like the fullback.
It was
He was the all star. Yeah.
And like pitches. Handoffs or pitches.
Nobody
yeah.
wanted to get in the way. You know,
because
you would always be kind of mad about something. You know, you were always kind of
had the
grumpy.
Spin moves. I can't move like that anymore.
Yeah, Tom is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is so nuts. Because I mean, I would say back then you were like a prime athlete.
Yeah.
And to see, you know, what has happened.
You're talking about, like, big all-stot?
Got a bulging disc now. Everything's
like,
different.
Dude, he was like Cam Scatabo, bro.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. For sure.
I could see. I would Will not Shipley. Want to not have to want to bring him down.
Hey,
or take his flag.
Hey, we're coming back. Cam Scatabo
and Will Shipley. Yeah. Watch out.
That's it.
McCaffrey looks healthy. Like, things are really looking up.
It's like, you know, the whites, they just don't hold up as much. You know, your hamstring's giving out.
Bones are brittle, yeah.
Are you excited, by the way, about this? I mean, are you, like, legitimately, like, not because you always have to be about the Titans, but are you genuinely excited about the season?
I'm excited about the NFL season.
Okay, not the Titans season.
I don't think they're going to be good. I just don't. I don't think they're going to be good. I think the defense is going to be terrible.
Colts got Daniel Jones, though.
Yeah. Division is gettable.
Man, that's your starter.
I think the Jags are going to be good.
That's true.
We'll see
with
the
Texans.
I mean, the Texans
What's going to be different about the Jags?
He's got two to throw to now.
Trevor's healthy. He's got a bunch of weapons. Like, they'll be.
But Trevor will get hurt again. He always does.
Yeah, he always does. That's true.
And Houston's offensive line is such a. I mean, look, you're not going to win the division, but I'm just saying, like, you could win seven games by way of.
I mean, shoot, the Jags, they're going to put Travis Hunter on Calvin Ridley, and then who the hell else? I mean,
Travis Hunter's already hurt, man. They can't play him two ways. There is no way.
Who's going to catch the ball after that?
That's a joke. Travis Hunter playing both. They're going to have to pick. Because he's already hurt.
Seems to me like they're dead set on letting him do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
With the way they've split up the reps.
It might be like the, you know, you get the rookie year, and then they have
to
figure it out.
I'm with you. I think it's a bad plan.
And I would play him as a DB.
Other experts have said they'd put him at wide receiver. Think he's right up there with some of the guys on ESPN.
I don't know. Every time,
I just don't think he's elite on that side.
That's what. Like, every time I think about the biggest plays Travis Hunter made, it was always as a DB, like in college. Mm-hmm. You know, I just feel like that's where you're. Like, you can find pass catchers. I mean, obviously not Van Jefferson, but you can find pass catchers in the NFL. It's really not that difficult. Like, Westbrook Akine was fine.
Yeah.
We've discussed, we don't know if you guys have a coach. We don't know what Callahan is
yet,
right?
That's what we
don't know.
I think my opinion is, I don't really have anything to back this up. I wonder if the new regime, you know, the new GM wants to get his own guy in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
that's
you have no excuse with a rookie quarterback. They are not going to take, like, if you start 1-5, I think he's gone. I do. I think that GMs want to get their own guys in there. That's the history of football, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that he's not going to have the excuse. I think the defense is going to be bad, and I think that you have to be over 500 to keep your job, probably.
What?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so?
Absolutely not.
His point on the GM, man, being new and that not being
these
his
guys
guy
always
probably,
want
right?
their they always he, want their I mean, guys.
That's
he
solid.
Didn't hire him.
Maybe next year. But how you gonna fire a coach for being under 500 with that roster? And then expect to get a good one after him. I mean, unless you just have a guy, you're like, I have a
I mean,
guy
he's
like an up-and-comer that
know,
I have to hire.
He came from the Chiefs. Like, he's got some, you know,
yeah,
he got some moxie to him.
All right,
like,
so he goes hire Spagnuolo. I mean, that's what you want? You want a 65-year-old Spagnuolo instead of this guy? I mean, he may stink, but I also don't think he's been given necessarily a chance to show. I mean, what's he had?
I mean, you could have a guy like Cliff Kingsbury available next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, who waited this
wanna
year.
Try that again?
You could go Cliff. He's going to get
I mean,
another
I think,
shot.
I think, too, maybe over 500 isn't fair. I think
he needs to be competitive in the division.
And like, Cam Ward, without a question, has to be in the running for Rookie of the Year.
Well, he like, should. He
like
should
that's,
win it.
Yeah, that's
– he's the only quarterback that's a rookie that's guaranteed to start.
Yeah, if that doesn't happen, then I think that's another thing that they'll just look at and say, well
– you don't think if
– because he's a quarterback guy.
To his point, if Cam had a – if it didn't go well, Cam had a bad year, they wouldn't look at Cliff Kingsbury, the new GM, and say – I want you to do for Cam what you did for Jaden Daniels.
If it's
and
a disaster,
ahead, and go
yes.
ahead and fire Callahan to
but
do it.
But
I
he
think
said
absolutely
if it's
they
not
would.
Above 500, but if it's 7-10, they won't. You know, that's an improvement.
Maybe not. Yeah, that's an improvement.
6-11 is an improvement. So I mean, if they go 6-0,
how it looks.
Yeah, I mean, it
I just
definitely
don't think
does.
You don't have to give that GM too many reasons because I'm with you, Ben, and you always want your own guy.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. Yep. You got to give him some time,
right?
But. If you got a guy that's available and he's going to be the hot candidate like a Ben Johnson was,
yeah, that's true.
You're going to be willing to get off of him if maybe
well,
it was
you may
a little bit more willing.
You may get you know a little bit of word that this dude wants to coach Cam Ward and he's like
exactly.
You know, I mean, so I don't you wouldn't hold on to Brian Callahan for that. We've seen that before for sure. But I also I have no opinion on it because I don't think he's really been able to show much. Like what's
that? That's true.
So by the way, are you going to Europe?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. Are you talking for Grizzlies?
Yeah.
As of right now, I have not heard anything.
Have you put in a request?
My hand is up. Yes. Yes. Publicly and privately. yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know.
The selection process.
I don't know the selection process, but put me in, coach.
Where is it at? Germany and London?
Yeah. Well, Berlin first, then London, I believe. Yes.
Oh, that'd be a fun week.
I've been to London before.
I've never been to Berlin, though.
I'd love to go to Berlin. Sounds great. Or back to London.
What are you going to do in Berlin?
I don't know.
Walk past the Berlin Wall?
Yeah, explore. Yeah, explore a country I've never been to before.
Hey, well, if you can get these lease negotiations done, we'll send you on the city.
Yeah.
The city. We'll put it on the city's.
I actually think that's a good incentive.
You know,
that is a pretty good incentive.
Now, you are in there and get this thing
signed. You are in on those discussions, right?
No, I have not been consulted. You know, I do have my thoughts.
Your boy made some waves.
I heard your man.
Your boy
I was
made some waves.
On this.
it's the buzzword.
Yeah.
Perception.
Yeah.
What do you think of that word when you hear it?
I think that, I mean, I think there's a reason people say it. God, it's funny, like coming in here today, like I just, something pops up on my stupid feed that's like, top places for crime in the country, and Memphis is in the top five, like, you know, and I hate seeing it just as much as anybody else. But again, that's perception. It was some big account with a bunch of likes on it, right? Like, it's,
Well, that's not really perception if they're using, like, some figure. I mean, that's, like, stats.
I'm just saying the fact that it's, like, going viral
but no,
on social
that,
media.
But,
yeah.
You know, but that's, like, that's facts mm-hmm. as opposed to perception, which is, oh, I think Memphis is unsafe because this happened to me.
Yeah.
That's, like, you know, because our experiences shape our, whatever that may, like, my perception of you as a person, that's through my dealings with you. You know, like, so people may be out and they may have a friend that has gone through something and they, like, you can, I can give you all the statistics in the world. I can tell you that violent crime is down 25%. I can tell you that 30, you know, this, that, and the other.
Yep.
But because they know somebody that it happened to, they feel like it might as well be up 100%, you know?
Yep.
So that's the kind of it's the psychological battle that even though perception is not necessarily always based in what the reality is, it's that these sort of anecdotal events that take place, they shape our willingness to do things or not do things.
I mean, look, for everything that Gary said, it's coming from that report that came out. That was it the beginning of the week? Yeah, it was at the beginning. It was on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
when the Daily Memphian story came out.
Yeah.
And what's the quote in there? It says that the Grizzlies want to see the vision for the state of downtown Memphis.
Yes.
I mean, that's coming from the Grizzlies.
Yeah, totally.
You know? And listen, man, I work downtown. I've lived in the city my whole life. I've spent so much time downtown, you know, as a fan, as, you know, someone who works downtown. And I totally respect, like, everyone's opinion, because I know that this has been very divisive. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's saying, I go downtown all the time. I have a great experience. I've never had any issues. That's awesome.
And you won't have an issue if you go during a Grizzly game.
And I want that to be
true. Like, I promise you will not. If you park and go to the Grizzly, I promise you there will be no issue.
I want that to be true for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's necessarily been true for everybody and on case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. It's fine. But I don't think they're really talking to those people. They're talking to people that aren't going downtown, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like we want people that maybe have decided they don't want to go downtown anymore to come back downtown mm-hmm. because we know that attendance has been down. We saw it in the playoff series, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, dude, that's the playoffs against the champions. And you could say
they were wiping the floor with your ass. I mean, I don't think there was a ton of incentive to come down. I mean,
but see, that's where I get hung up on it because, again, I've been a Grizzlies fan ever since they've been in this city. I've been through terrible seasons. You know,
I went to game 4.
Right.
Because I'm a real Memphian and I'm a real one and I never get credit for that.
That's right. You're damn right, Joel. But I just, you know, NBA teams just aren't going to, that's just not an excuse, man. Like it's a bottom line business. Like mm-hmm. fans have to go to games. You know, like I think an example, that your Bulls like have been brought up quite a bit. Like they've sucked forever and people still go.
That's because they are used to it, you know. They're used to always losing.
I mean, we're still towards the bottom as far as ticket sales.
Okay, but they have a smaller arena than a lot of NBA teams.
Sure the Kings sell better. Like they're always terrible. I mean,
But we're talking. When you get into attendance, you're talking about the difference of like 1,000 people. If 1,000 more people win a game, would we be saying a different tune, or would we be saying that attendance is still down? Because you'd still rank near the bottom if you had 17,000 a game, 17,300 a game. You'd still rank near the bottom. Mm. Would we feel better about it? We're talking about 1,000 people, not 5,000, not 8,000. The Tigers, okay,
a little bit better.
The Tigers have an attendance issue, like that is real because that's 6,000 a game. We're talking about 16.5, and we're saying we have a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a little less patience with that.
Is it 16.5, though?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's announced. I mean, I don't know.
Now, on that's announced. We're talking with turnstile count. You're using the 6,500. That's actual butts and seats.
I don't know what the Grizzlies turnstile is. I don't know that we ever see that number compare. But even if you just compare announced versus announced, right?
Your points, yeah.
You know, it's valid. Like, yeah. But I think one team, one program in the city has a legitimate problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Tigers. And the other would like more, but it's not really, an issue. If we're talking about 800 more people a game would really make us feel better, you know, I think you can kind of take into the consideration the last 2 years have been pretty bad. Like, you had the lost season in 23-24, the off-the-court stuff with Ja. Like, I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody, and I'm also not saying that there's not anything that can't be improved upon. But I also think there's explanations for everything.
I think if they're like awesome this year and competing as a top five team in the West, I think the attendance will work itself out. I think it'll be fine. I think that people will go because they'll want to see it, right?
Yeah.
But you need people to want to come on a Wednesday night versus
I agree.
The Jazz.
100%.
Like, you know what I mean? That's always been a problem.
And that's the downtown thing.
Yeah.
That's like you got to have more going on.
I completely agree with that.
I think we could argue about crime and this and that, the other. It's like you got to give people something to freaking do, man. Mm. Like a nice restaurant that everybody can go, or a nice sports bar, a nice, like whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's lacking downtown.
It
has been forever.
Without question is. I mean, because again, like when you exit onto the plaza, like, yeah, you got Beale Street there. Mm-hmm. What else do you really have?
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing right around that
vicinity. And Beale Street's looked the same since 1980.
Yeah, and I mean, and you're probably not taking your kids to Beale Street at 10 o'clock at night anyway. No. So, I mean,
they can't get in.
I mean, I agree with you. Like, you do want more restaurants and stuff.
And the city should work with the Grizz on that. I mean, I think that's a very valid thing to try to get out of this.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, everybody just wants a thriving downtown.
Yes.
And you know,
Memphians, Grizzlies included.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. We can argue about like
it help the Tigers too.
Of course it will.
I mean, if you have something else. All right, Brad's telling us that's time. Bennett, you're the man.
Always a pleasure.
Appreciate
brother.
You guys.
Thanks for coming
you.
In. Yep. You always come in here and you face the tough questions head on.
Respect.
That's not easy appreciate to do for y'all. A guy that got burned publicly the way you did yesterday.
I've taken my lumps before. It'll be fine.
He's been at Doyle. Do you use X or have you boycotted?
I'm trying to look less.
Look less.
Yeah.
So
all
you're not a social media guy as much anymore.
I mean, I am. I see
all
everything,
right.
But
he sees
I'm trying. I'm trying to force myself to be
got
less
it. More
involved.
Present.
Yeah,
I got it.
Makes
Doyle.
Me depressed.
He's out there. Thanks, brother. We'll
appreciate
come back.
Y'all.
Wrap this up, Jason and John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Trying to find ESPN. Snacky Hour at Sonic is about to begin. Anybody that visits Sonic during Snacky Hour will get dollar corn dogs, dollar mozzarella sticks, dollar soft pretzel twists, drink rewards in the Sonic app. You got Sonic Snacky Hour going from 2 to 5 every day. Live free. Eat Sonic.
They've unleashed the Pickleverse, with their Big Deal meal as well. It's a Sonic Smasher of grills, pickles, and dilly ranch. You're not done because they pickle the seasoned tots as well. And you can wash it all down with a pickle Rita slush. So if you got pickle on the brain, get over to Sonic. And as John said, make sure you're there from 2 to 5. It is the Snacky Hour. You can take advantage of all the dollar items on the menu. Live free. Eat Sonic.
We're back. Jason and John, Trying FM, ESPN. Thanks to Bennett Doyle for joining us on the show. We're talking about Grizz attendance. And the 2000. So we kind of want to use like the peak, right? Like the peak of the Ja era, which was, you would say, 22-23, when they were the 2 seed again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was an average of, what, 17,000?
17,2, let's see. I'll pull it out, I'll give you the exact. 17,264.
All right, 17,000.
What's the place seat?
18,5-ish. Okay. It might be a little less than that.
A little less.
Call it 18.
But either way.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, I don't know, 85-90% capacity?
And that puts you at 22nd in the league, 17,264.
But honestly, though, if it only seats 18,000, that's basically like 93% capacity.
It's very on close. Your announced, at least.
You're unannounced, right.
Yes.
And then this past year, 24-25, what was it?
Down to 16,600. 160, but that's not even 1,000 drop off. You were using 1,000. It's not even that.
It's not even 1,000 people. So that's what I mean. Again, maybe, but they have data that we don't have, which is like how many are there.
Actual butts and seats.
So perhaps the drop off is a little bit more drastic than that. But I mean, how much more drastic can it be? I mean, you know, I don't think you're going to announce 2,000, 3,000 over, you know, in an 18,000 seat arena. So, you know, my patience for that part of the argument is a little less. But if you wanted to sort of focus on the revitalization that needs to take place down there, like, yeah, we can definitely talk about that all day. And that's where, you know, hopefully that's just the angle, right? The angle is we want to make sure that we can address that.
Yeah.
And have a chance in the next 20 years to make downtown Memphis a, because I mean, I love going down. I go to a Grizzly game as much as I can. You know, I don't have I'm too busy during the college basketball season to go down three times a week, but a big game against the Nuggets or, you know, the leading scorer in the NBA, Malik Monk, whoever he plays for now, I love to get down there and see that game. You know, the big ones. OKC, I've been down there for an OKC game.
I feel that way about most games that John Morant's playing because I might not see it again.
Very true. Very true. It doesn't even matter who they're playing.
So if he's averaged 51 games played per year, if that number can go up, that can help you significantly as well.
People want to see the stars.
On John Morant every
year. Yes. Yes. Yeah. If he's not in, it becomes a much less attractive outfit. Right. That's just the reality. So hopefully he can do that. You know, he is the franchise player.
And he wants it to be a takeoff year. He needs 65 plus. Continue to go back to it.
You can't take off if you're not on the tarmac.
Got to be at least be in the running for the awards.
You know? Anyway, thanks to Bennett Doyle for joining us on the show today. Thanks, of course, to
Drew Hill.
Drew Hill for joining us as well. Jeffrey Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.